we just put our hands together and give the King of Kings a round of applause? Amen. 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 And while we're at it, can we tune up a little bit here in the monitors, and maybe turn down there or something? Seems like it's off balance or something to me. I don't know. Maybe it may be me. Amen. For God is good and His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And I'm glad He woke me up this morning. That's for me. Amen. I hope you feel the same way. Amen. Because I can't say that for everybody. Amen. But I'm glad He woke me up this morning. And He started me on a fresh, brand new day. Amen. Amen. He didn't have to do it. But the songwriter said He did. Amen. Psalms 150. Psalm 150. Psalm 150. That's the last book or chapter or number in Psalms. If you go past that, you in Proverbs. Amen. Psalm 150, it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals." And the psalmist ends by saying, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." And he says, "Praise ye the Lord." Amen. 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 I want to speak to us from this subject, just simply praise in plain language. You may be seated. Praise. I said in plain language. To God, who is our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So glad He's my Savior. The Holy Spirit, our Comforter. To Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, to our all of these fine deacons and our mothers that are present on this morning, to give you honor. To our ushers, thank you so much this morning for helping to navigate us through this worship. Thank you to our music ministry, amen, for blessing us through song, amen, and to all of our Father's children, it is just good that we could be here on today. It's so good to see you, amen, 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 amen. It's just good to have folk and to see people that is hungry for God and His word and not the preacher, amen. See, everybody should have said amen then. It's good to see folk that's hungry for God and His word and not the preacher. You'll catch that on your way home. Amen. Amen. This text is it's an all too familiar one. And most of us have heard it read countless times as a call to worship or used as an exhortation to celebratory praise. And yet, Reverend Johnson, our reaction, and in most cases, our inaction in response to his reading demonstrates that we have unresolved issues when it comes to praise. Whenever the worship leader calls for praise, our typical response is a wishy-washy, pity-patting, of our hands and the half-hearted praise the Lord and a whispered hallelujah. When spontaneous, exuberant, self-initiated praise we find is not the norm. And church folk want to be poked and prodded, revved up and amped up, tantalized and titillated into praise. Amen, because I found out that through my experience in being in church and worship service, the devotion can't be high unless the right deacon is praying and he's reading the right scripture. Yeah, the choir can't sing unless the right musician is playing the right song that's led by the right soloist. The right preacher, but the praise can't go on unless the right preacher needs to be hooping the right words. And if all the conditions aren't right, we can't seem to praise. We'll sit there as the chosen frozen all service, almost daring anyone to provoke me to praise. For others of us who's not inclined to praise at all, but we don't mind judging others' praise, we sit in service and wonder why this sister or this brother is always acting up in service. Why they always hollering hallelujah? Why they always shout glory to God? Why they always clapping all loud, waving their hands and hopping up and down and dancing down the aisles, keeping up all that commotion? Why these reactions to the call to praise to God? It's quite simply because praise, as straightforward as it is, praise, I found, confounds us. Yeah, it's perplexing every now and again. It mesmerizes us every now and again. Even outside the church worship service, in our own personal life, we have a challenged relationship with praise. Because there are those of us who can only praise God when we are going through rough places in our life. But as soon as God grants us a breakthrough, we put our praise in the cubby hole until the next worship service or the next crisis comes in our life. Then there are those of us who praise God in private. But we don't want anybody, you know, at the church, let alone on our job, to catch us in a public praise. You know, I call those cool praisers. Yeah. We are ashamed of praise. Scheduling a secret clandestine rendezvous with God, but never wanting anyone to know. But the bottom line is that we just ain't, I did say ain't, comfortable with praise. Yeah, especially as Baptist folk. Yeah, that rubbed somebody the wrong way. I'm glad it did. I did that purposely. Amen. Because the Bible says, don't say that Baptists praise them a certain way, or Pentecostals say praise them a certain way, Episcopalians praise them a certain way. But the text tell me, let everything that has breath. Oh, sound like somebody read their Bible. But let me suggest that praise really shouldn't be pestering to us at all. Look, again, it ain't really that complicated. Because praise is natural for a believer. It's normal. It's simple. Praise is just the way that we tell God thank you. We praise God with our voice, you know, testifying and singing. We praise God with our bodies, lifting our hands, clapping our hands, you know, dancing, kneeling, bowing. We praise God by giving of our time, our talents, and our treasure. Praise is just straightforward. Praise, my brothers and sisters, is a verb. It's an action word. It is something that one does, not so much as something that one says. To praise has been defined formally as to commend, to express approval or admiration, to extol in word, song, and or deed. The people of God then are called to be a people who praise God, making a joyful noise to the Lord because he is good. Yeah, this morning I just want to talk to us about praise because we need to refamiliarize ourselves with the notion of telling God thank you through action and activity. God, y'all, we ought to be tired of just telling God thank you when he done got us out of something. I want to talk to you about being demonstrative and giving thanks to God. I mean, if we can dance around the living room during the NCAA championship game, it seems like every once in a while there ought to be some dancing in the church house. If we can hoop and holler. Yeah, when the team we love the most, when they get a bad call, it looked like we ought to do some hooping and some hollering in the church house. You know, because one thing I've noticed, you ever seen crowd shots at the stadium? You don't even have to see the players on the field, but just look at the crowd, and you know there's a game going on. Uh-huh, because I wonder what would happen if there were a video feed of our Sunday morning services. I just wonder what would happen. I just wonder what would a casual observer think or base his knowledge on looking at the video of the crowd and would say that the viewing of the church, that there is a church service going on. Would a panning of the congregation reveal that we have called out to lift up the name of Jesus? What do we look like? The question is, what do we sound like? IJS, I'm just saying. Because as much as some of y'all love the Steelers, love the Colts, love the Ravens, the Niners, the Packers, and I sure enough love them boys, but not one of them leads or loves us or guides us or protects us. Not one of them suffered in our place. Not one of them shedded their blood for us. Not one of them, not one of them did anything for us. So if I'm going to raise a roof, seems like we ought to be raising a roof for Jesus. We ought to raise it for all that he is, for all that he's done and all that he's going to do and that he is doing. It is clear that the Lord is worthy of praise. He's worthy of our best praise. But something is wrong when we give our team more praise than we give the Lord. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This morning, I want to invite you to join me as we look at praise through the lens of Psalm 150. This offering of an unknown psalmist is intentionally positioned as the culminating exhortation of the book of Psalms. Throughout the Psalms, we are encouraged to give expression of our thanks of God through praise. And we are reminded that praise is good. That praise is something that we ought to do. Psalm 150 speaks to us, my brothers and sisters, in plain language about praise. It covers all the basics of this theme we call praise. The who, the where, the why, the how, and the what for of praise. In Psalm 150, we are invited to take a look at praise, to walk around in it, to become familiar and comfortable with it. If you don't mind, I got a few scattering remarks I want to make, and I'm going to be out of your way. First of all, the text helps us see the who of praise. Psalm 150 opens and closes with a declaration of the who of praise, noting in verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord." But I notice that in verse 6, he says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." He says, "Praise ye the Lord." The who of praise then is evident on the face of this text. Verses 1 and 6 reminds us that there are two who's involved in praise. The subject of the command to praise and the object of the command to praise the Lord. Praise is what the linguists refer to as a transitive verb. It's a transitive verb. In other words, it is an action word that requires both a subject, one who does the action, and an object, one who receives the action. The subject of praise is one who, and the object of praise is the other. So praise the Lord, then, is a command. Therefore, the implied subject is you. It's us's. Yeah, the unknown writer of the 150th number of Psalm commands us, the you to whom he writes, the subject, to praise the Lord. He who is the object of our praise. So, baby, when we come here, ain't no need of us trying to praise nobody else but the Lord. You don't praise your pastor. You don't praise how pretty your church is, how long your church been standing or been in existence. You don't praise whoever's in position. You don't praise by how much money you got. If you ain't praising the Lord, you ain't praising the right object. Preach, Myron. Real easy. Real easy. Plain language, real easy, right? Right? It's real easy, right? And in case we miss it in the opening verse, the psalmist, watch it, closes out his writing by reminding us, those who have breath, he said, praise God. If you ain't living, that don't pertain, that's not talking to you. It does not pertain to you. Just in case you're wondering when or whether the command to praise applies to you, verse 6 provides you with a litmus test. He said, if you are breathing, then you ought to be, that's your command, and you ought to praise the Lord. That means that you don't have to pray about praising, have a church meeting about praising, when we going to get together out on the lot and decide when we go praising. You don't have to debate whether praise is the right thing to do. It's quite simple, baby. If you got breath in plain language, he says, then you are commanded to give God some praise. How long do I praise? He said, as long as I have breath. When may I stop praising? When I'm no longer to breathe. Everything that breathes is commanded to praise God. And the only excuse for not praising is that you die. And I don't see nobody in here dead. Not physically anyway. Amen. Amen. The who of praise is straightforward. It's us and God. Amen. We are giving him, we are the subject, and we are giving him, who is the object, praise. The who is answered. Then secondly, the next query addressed by the text is the where of praise. Verse 1 continues. Not only, watch this, does he say praise the Lord and praise God. He said, not next, he said, praise God in his sanctuary and praise him in the firmament of his power. Or praise him in the mighty firmament. I like that better. Because watch this. The short answer to where do we praise God is this. Is that we are to praise God everywhere. To make sure that we get it, the psalmist breaks everywhere down like this. He says, praise God. He said, in God's sanctuary and in God's mighty firmament. This is to say that praise God in God's house. And praise God in God's creation. The psalmist reminds us that we ought to praise God in God's house. But he doesn't stop there, because he wants us to know that not being in God's house is not an excuse not to praise God. Watch this. Of course now, you would expect to praise God in God's house. But when we find ourselves someplace other than the church. Because, see, we got a mindset that we can't praise God other nowhere than the church. The psalmist reminds us that we are still authorized indeed to command it to praise God. Because no matter where you are in God's mighty firmament. Let me help you out. What's the firmament? I'm glad you want to know. The firmament is described in Genesis 1 when God created the heavens and the earth. As God stepped out of nowhere and hovered over the raging and the chaotic nothingness that the writer of Genesis refers to as the waters, God created light on the first day. Then on the second day, God looked around at the waters, deemed them unsuitable for his continued work, and hollowed out a working space for the rest of his creation, declaring, he says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters which is above it and the waters below it. That's not the word of God. Then watch it. Everything that was created after the second day was created in the firmament. The earth. Watch this, the land and the sea, the plants, the moon, the stars, the birds, the fish, the animals, and the people. All of that God created. So everywhere you look, you're looking at the firmament. Let me help you out. Everywhere you walk, you're walking on the firmament. Baby, if you take a swim down there in the Gulf Coast Ocean, you're swimming in the firmament. If you fly in an airplane, guess what? You flying in the affirmative. If you hop a shuttle to space station or beam aboard a Starship Enterprise and baby, you want to travel some strange world, guess what? You are traveling through the firmament. Wherever you go and wherever you are in God's firmament. In plain language, the sermon command that we ought to praise God wherever we find ourselves. Not just in the sanctuary, but in the firmament. Yeah, baby, praise God in the church house. But you shouldn't mind, don't get it twisted, you shouldn't mind praising him on your job, praising him while you're getting your nails done, while you're getting your hair fixed up, while you're in the barber shop, while you're in the mall, while you're at the park, wherever you're at, baby, you ought to praise God. Because wherever you are, you're in his firmament. All I got to say is just praise God everywhere. Why praise God? The text lets us know the third reason is the why of praise. It helps us to see then in verses 2 that he says, praise him for his mighty acts. Yeah. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Here we are reminded that we should praise God because of what he has done, his mighty acts, and because of who he is, of his excellent greatness. Yeah. The psalmist first notes that praise is appropriate response to the mighty acts of God. And to unpack the phrase mighty acts, it helps to understand that the Jews divided the mighty acts of God into three categories. First of all, they divided in God's acts in creation, God's acts on behalf of the people, and God's personal blessings. God then, watch, has made everything. You agree with that? So then if he did that, we ought to praise him. He provides for and protects his people. We are his people, so then we ought to praise him. God is our personal shepherd, guide, healer, and keeper, giving each of us exactly what we need. Then guess what? We ought to praise him. That's mighty acts. So our God then, if you agree with that, our God keeps on doing great things. Watch this. I know he had because guess what? The sun rose in the east this morning. And unless Jesus returned before then, guess what? It's going to go down in the west this evening. That's the mighty act of God deserving of some praise. There's just the right amount of oxygen and nitrogen and carbon monoxide that's mixed in the air so our crazy self won't fall out and die. That's a mighty act. That's deserving of our praise. He calls it to rain all week and the week before. And guess what? Today, when I went down about 11 yesterday, it receded without any water pumps or anything. Guess what? That's a mighty act of God, which is a reason to praise God. When we were lost in sin, God wrapped himself in flesh and came down through 42 generations to save our old crazy self. He healed the sick and raised the dead, preached the kingdom of God, and gave his life and laid it down on Good Friday, picked it back up again on Easter Sunday morning, and declared that all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Baby, that's a reason to praise God. You ought to praise him. Because he kept you all night last night while you slept. Then woke you up this morning. You ought to praise him. He gave you food to eat. Clothes on your back this morning. That's a reason to praise him. His mercy kept you. His grace protected you. His love enveloped you. That's a reason to praise God. What can you do but praise him? He just keeps on giving us reasons over and over again to praise him. I mean, God is just like that. He does mighty acts. Because as the psalmist points out, God has excellent greatness. Yeah, God does it like God does it. Because doing it like he does is what God does. Yeah. He's God. The sovereign God. God can do whatever God wants to do because of his excellent greatness. Yeah, it's God's power. It's his majesty. It's his glory. He's just that kind of God. Yeah, anybody know that God other than me? There's nobody before God. That's why he's the Alpha. Yeah, there's nobody going to come behind him. That's why he's the Omega, baby. He is who he is, and that's a reason to praise God. What can you say but give God praise? He's just God all by himself, able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's just his excellent greatness. Fourthly, got one more and I'm done. The how of praise. The psalmist helps us to see that in verses 3-5. He says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery or the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him, he said, with the stringed instruments and the organ or flutes. Then he said, praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. How do we praise God? The short answer to the question is this. We are to praise God with everything at our disposal. Now, I have a problem with folk that say, look, it don't take all that. It does. Even if we all had an empty bag of potato chips and we blow them up and pop them, it take all of that to praise God. Remember, the Psalm 150 is a song. A psalm is a song of praise. They sung this. It is written for the express purpose of being sung in praise. Also, look, recall that Psalm 150 is strategically placed to close out the entire book of Psalm, a book in which we are instructed to praise God by the lifting of our hands, clapping of our hands, and shouting unto the Lord, and by bowing down and kneeling before the Lord. Through verses, well, just through verses 3-5 of Psalm 150 emphasizes the use of musical instruments to praise God. Those verses must be read in concert with other methods of praise that's highlighted throughout the psalm. So then, watch if you agree with that. We already come to the use of our brother. We already come then, brother, to Psalm 150 with the understanding that we ought to praise God. Watch it with the use of our bodies. That's singing, bowing, lifting hands, testifying, clapping hands. But here, watch this, the psalmist now, he explicitly calls for us to bring musical instruments into the mix as we offer praise to God. Musical, watch this, musical instruments then become a part of the total praise package, if you will. And I'm not saying you can't praise him without music. But then this is the total package. In addition to praising God through the use of our voices and our bodies, the psalmist now instructs us to put every musical instrument there to use in praising God. Every musical instrument. Baby, if you got a harmonica, whatever it is, blow it. Because God received that praise. Yeah, just don't break out when no thrill is gone. Just as we praise God, everywhere we are reminded to praise God with everything. Nothing that can be employed for the purpose of raising the praise of our God is off limits. The text tells us, he said, use the horns, the string instruments, the reeds, the instruments, percussion instruments. Watch this, everything that can be used to make a joyful noise, the text lets us know is fair game. Like the young folk would say, it's all good, baby. And just in case you can't sing or play an instrument, the psalmist leave you even without an excuse, for even the tone deaf and the instrumentally challenged can move their bodies and dance. Now you got to dance right. I don't want to see you in here with that. And you're looking back. You got to dance right. You can't do that and make it clap back. That ain't dancing. No. You trying to turn this into some freak shows and, you know, you want some slapping and all that kind of stuff. This ain't that kind of praise party. No. We see it too much. That's the how of praise. I know you don't like that, but guess what? My own home ain't scared to say it, because if you're fired, give me a 2-week notice, please. See, use what you got and what you can grab to give God praise.
Sing, dance, testify, shout, play the instrument, baby. But if you can't wave your hand, you ought to at least wiggle a finger. If you can't dance, you ought to at least shuffle your feet. If you can't hold a tune, sing in your heart, baby. If you can't play an instrument, lift up your voice like the sound of a trumpet and shout out, hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just use what you got and grab whatever you can and give God your best praise. Then lastly, the psalmist says, he gives to us who've already revealed the who, the where, the why, and the how of praise. But now the psalmist reveals to us the what of praise. What is the practical purpose of praise? Well, let me say first that the purpose of praise is not for us just to make noise. Yes, praise makes a noise. That's not worship, that's praise. In fact, it's impossible to praise without making noise. So if somebody getting on your nerve because they praising, then that's just your hard luck. There's no silent praise. Because even in Revelation, when the angels come and bow down and before his throne and lay their crowns down, I hear them singing hallelujah. Salvation and glory. Honor unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yeah, they're going to be making some noise. Watch this. See, you remember Jesus, it's a rebuke of the Pharisees on the first Palm Sunday when they wanted the crowd to be quiet. And Jesus told them, he said, if these hold their peace, he said, the rocks will cry out. Baby, God wants praise. He deserves to be praised. The book of Revelation paints a picture of the heavenly throne room with the angels. You know, those other heavenly beings were singing and bowing and shouting praises to God. But neither the praise of the heavenly host nor our personal or corporate praise is commanded for the sake of just making racket. No. Let me just make it clear that our praise is not merely cheerleading. God don't need no cheerleaders, baby. Because if he needed cheerleaders, he'd have a whole bunch of folks cheering him on when he said, let there be. God don't cheer. Look, we don't cheer to inspire God to mighty acts. God didn't have a cheering section. When God stopped out of nowhere, hovered over nothing, and created all that is, God don't need cheerleaders. He didn't have no crowd of angels standing there talking about, give me a V and give me an I. No, it was him all by himself. Watch this. Let me help you out. Praise then, in 5b of this text, praise then him, he says, with the high sounding cymbal. One translation says this, I like this, praise him with clashing cymbals. In verse 5a, watch this, we're instructed to praise God with loud cymbals. But in verse 5b, we are instructed to praise God with the clashing cymbal or the high sounding cymbal. Both instances, the Hebrew word for cymbals is the same. Watch this. The distinction between verse 5a and 5b is found in the adjective that modifies the word translated cymbals. Biblical history or archaeologies tells us that loud cymbals, well, watch this, was the symbol used for worship and temple setting. The Levites played loud cymbals as part of the daily worship in the temple. The literal meaning then of the Hebrew word translated loud is a report or tidings or a speech. Loud cymbals were used in public praise to tell the story of the goodness of God. When one heard loud cymbals in worship, the cymbal spoke, as it were. What it does, it was praising God for his mighty acts. The sound of the loud cymbal was a report, a testimony about the goodness of God. But the word translated clashing or the high sounding cymbal points in a different direction when it comes to praise. The Hebrew word translated clashing is typically associated with sounding an alarm, with calling soldiers to battle. Listen, don't miss the connection here between praising God with clashing cymbals and battle. We don't just praise God to make noise. We don't praise God as cosmic cheerleaders. We praise God because praise itself sounds an alarm. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Praise is the battle cry of the saints of God. And baby, I just wouldn't come here and look my lifetime and never give God praise. I would never come here all of my life and not be able to sound the alarm. You do know that we are in a battle. As I told you, see, Jesus has already won the war. He's already overcome the world, but we still have some battles to fight. Paul put it like this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Baby, that's a battle. He even says this in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul said we're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Baby, that sounds like battle to me. Yes, we are in a battle. But my brothers and sisters, but how many of you know that there is victory in your praise? When we praise God, we sound the alarm. When the alarm sounds, God shows up and gives us victory. We are called to praise God on clashing cymbals to sound the alarm as a reminder that we are in battle fighting alone the captain who've never lost a battle. Praise sounds the alarm. Look, when I'm in trouble sometime, y'all, and when I'm going through something, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. That just helps me out. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from thee, whither shall I go? It may look crazy. The odds may be stacked against you, but I dare you to praise God everywhere with everything you got. I guarantee you the Lord will show up and give you victory. If you cry out in praise, God will answer you in victory. If you don't believe me, can I call Jehoshaphat? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were about to be attacked by three enemies who had made an alliance for the sole purpose of beating down the people of God. Jehoshaphat knew that the odds were against him, but Jehoshaphat also knew that the Lord was for him. So after they prayed and fasted, the Lord told Jehoshaphat to send praises. You missed your shout right there, see? We talking about praise in plain language. He said, send praises. He didn't say send no preacher. Don't send the deacons. Don't send no mothers. Don't send ushers. Don't send the cook committee. He said, send praises. The folk who were committed to praising God everywhere with everything they got. He said, send them ahead of the army. Don't send the army first. Send the praises. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. The Bible says that the praisers put on their robes, grabbed their instruments, headed out to the battlefield. And as they went to the battlefield, they lifted up a praise unto God. Can you hear them singing that song? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Over and over again, praise the Lord, just one standing, for his mercy endureth forever. And out in the front of the enemy, the Bible said they were singing and praising. But my brothers and sisters, if you would just let the scene play out on the HD screen of your sanctified imagination, if you would just power up the video feed and flip on your surround sound, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the praisers who normally led the praise in the sanctuary begin to praise God in the firmament with singing and shouting. Yeah, they went in the church house, but they praised him in the firmament. They praised God on the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the flute, with the organ, with the drum, with the cymbal, the loud cymbal, and the high sounding cymbal. And the Bible says in plain language, as they headed into battle, the enemy equipped only with their praise. Watch this now. They sounded an alarm. The Lord fixed it so the enemy had become confused. And they destroyed themselves. God ended up destroying them just off the sound of the praise. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Baby's praise can confuse some folks. So when you're going through something and somebody acting a fool with you up in here, just shout praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. When they keep on acting a fool, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. So you ought to make up in your sanctified mind that, man, I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you're saying. Baby, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him all I got. I'm going to praise him everywhere with everything. I'm going to praise him with whatever is in front of me. If I have to grab these candles, baby, and cluck them together, I'm going to make it a sound. I'm going to sound the alarm. If I have to throw my fist in the air, baby, I'm going to praise the Lord. Because he's worthy to be praised. You ought to praise him with the sound of the trumpet. You ought to praise him with the lifting of your voice. You ought to praise him in a holy dance. You ought to praise him wherever you are and wherever you at. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. I'm done. I'm done.